Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Wasps by 12.
Dogman?
Wasps by 16.
Wasps by 26.
Wow. Ooh. I think it'll be Wasps, but could be a cracker. Okay.
I don't know why I said 26.
It's time to ruck again. Our weekly Times and Sunday Times podcast. Only 2 weeks to go, everyone, till the end of the home season. Then 6 weeks of Lions, when the ruck goes bi-weekly.
Yeah, lucky okay. listeners, I think, is what we're
okay,
saying.
Okay, lucky
it?
Listeners. Okay, it's twice a week and twice as good. Thanks a million for downloading us, for listening to us, and thanks for all the kind comments that we've had on social media and round and about rugby. As usual, we try to bring you a fantastic panel of top rugby experts. Sadly, they're not available every week. So today, we've got three others for you. We've got Alex Lowe of The Times, formerly of the Press Association, so a real journalist. Owen Slott, my colleague from The Times rugby correspondent, and the Prince of the Pop Papers, Adam Hathaway. One of my family said today, is the dog man on today? I said, yes, Adam, dog man Hathaway is with us today. It's been an amazing week, amazing match on Saturday. Alex, give us one good memory, one warm memory of the past week for you.
I think I didn't get the chance to go to Edinburgh for the Champions Cup final, and actually one of my best memories of the week was still around that game, sitting at home on the sofa with my youngest son, who's nearly five, who asked to sit down and watch it. He lasted about 10 minutes, but it was just the idea of him kind of sitting next to me and watching the big game on the telly was kind of warm the heart.
Yeah, we're that's off with a big sweet, emotional, sweet emotional thing. Adam, first of all, I think we should go to the usual. Ninja, we're only second this week, your greyhound.
Yeah.
Are you fooling yourself? Should he be called Claremont? He's always second.
Well, actually, my mate Dan, who runs the syndicate, informed me last night that Ninja's on the up and up. Our other right. dog, Mora, disgraced herself.
Mora?
Came fifth at Hove on Saturday, so England are staying there in Brighton this week, so I'm thinking of getting Johnny May to teach her how to sprint.
Right, fair enough, but we need better news. Your memories of the past week, Hathers?
On Saturday at Murrayfield, there was obviously a lot of Claremont fans there who were brilliant, and slightly fewer Saracens fans, but also the great thing about that final for me, it happens every year, is people turning up even if their team's not there. You know, there's Leinster jerseys there, Munster jerseys, Leicester, all sorts, so makes it a good occasion.
Right, fantastic, and Owen?
I was actually going to say the same as Hathers.
Sorry.
Just wandering around town seeing all these shirts and wondering why the guy from Quinn's bought the ticket in the first place. I mean, what did he think was going to happen? Well, I mean, we love the positivity, but...
You talk about positivity. I saw someone there with a Newport Gwent Dragons top. Now, that's optimism. That is optimism. I just thought it was a wonderful occasion. For me, I don't really want to go on about rugby all the time, but obviously yesterday at White Hart Lane.
Well, we've done a lot of dogs, haven't we?
We've done the dogs, but talk about emotion. I had all my three kids watched it, and they all stayed till the end because they're all Spurs members like myself, a little bit older than Alex is, and unbelievably emotional, especially when Lord Harry scored the goal.
As a West Ham fan, can I just wish Spurs all the best luck in their new stadium and hope it goes as well for you as it's gone for West Ham?
I tell you what, it's not actually. The stadium is right on top, almost right on top of the old one, so at least we didn't buzz off to use millions of public funds like you did.
It does actually, on rugby though, Wasps have moved, Saracens have moved, some clubs have moved grounds and made a big success of it. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, then there's West Ham.
And then there's West Ham.
Have we finished talking about Spurs now?
No. Saracens, guys, a magnificent occasion, magnificent performance against what I thought was a fantastic team. We're now talking about Saracens with superlatives. Are they the best English club or conceivably the best club that we've seen since the pro era or maybe any time? Owen, you can kick off with that.
I think they may well be in time, because I think the marker of this team is They've hit the heights and they're still young. They're going to get better. They're recruited, I think, brilliantly for next season. They're losing Jim Hamilton, but they're bringing the giant Will Skelton. They're losing Chris Ashton and they're bringing Liam Williams. So I think both of those are upgrades. Callum Clark's coming in, and I think they'll polish him up and turn him into something really special. But the core of the team is this group that came through their academy and they're now all in their mid-20s and they're just hitting their straps. So I think they will get better. In terms of greatest ever team, they've done the double in Europe, which Leicester did. But that Leicester team then went and qualified for the Premiership finals for the rest of the decade and the following century, didn't they? So I think they've got to put some more years into it to really challenge for what we're talking about, greatest ever. But certainly they belong right up there in the conversation.
I agree. It's funny. I read your piece this morning with interest about the reinforcements. I think it's a long time before we can say that Liam Williams is definitely an upgrade on Chris Ashton, because Chris Ashton has been absolutely wonderful lately. But that's just an opinion.
I think Liam Williams does more. I mean, Chris Ashton does what he does brilliantly, but we'll see. I mean, it's
okay. I mean, talking about the greatest side in Europe, which you've got to consider Toulouse, you've got to consider Leinster, you've got to consider Leicester. My favourite is Wasps, because when they won it under Gatland, they went through a ferocious programme, won away in Munster, etc., beat Toulouse. But Alex, are we talking about the superlatives now with Saracens?
Yeah, I would agree with Slotty. I think the most exciting thing about that club is that what they could go on to achieve. You know, we look at the players who are just enormous on Saturday, Billy Vunipola, Maka Vunipola, again, those guys, they're still in the formative stages of their career. Yeah, they've got 5-10 years where they're only going to get better, I think. Yep. And Mark McCall was right. Oh, I think it was Mark McCall who said it afterwards. You know, this team, there's more that they can go and achieve, and the culture they have, and which we've spoken about on previous podcasts, and the recruitment that Sossi just mentioned, I think they are already up there in that top bracket with that Wasps team, that Leicester team, Stuart Barnes's Bath team. I think they can now kick on and claim that for themselves. But simply by what they've already achieved at such a young age, they have to be up there.
North London's own.
Well, I made a lame attempt on Saturday night to get Mark McCall to say they were the greatest team ever. Didn't work. But I did use that Leicester team of 2001-02 as an example. But he made the point, like Alex, that the most exciting thing about Saracens is their age profile.
Yeah,
they're
true.
All sort of 25, 26.
I mean, the thing is, it's no one can prove it one way or the other. It's just fun. It's ideal to speak to in an environment like this. But I mean, Bath did win an absolutely glittering array of trophies year after year after year. But having said that, Saracens, to me, are the best team I've ever seen in the European Cup because of the sheer power with which they've gone through the latter half of the season. They were challenged all the way by Clermont. Never lost composure. What do? They've got to come off the field this week. Got an easy game at Exeter. Where the hell would you not want to go after doing 15 rounds with Clermont, Exeter? But what a fantastic game that'll be. But Saracens, for me, have got some kind of inner assurance. They've got an all-round game. Their attack is beautiful to watch. I put them top of the teams I've ever seen in Europe.
What interests me, Jonesy, is what's going to stop them. So they're on this track. What could derail them? The question may be, what happens when Mark McCall goes? I mean, we mentioned him a couple of times already. He's the sort of the quiet genius behind the whole thing. There's got to be some big offers from international teams coming round the corner after the next World Cup. If he's not offered the Ireland job, I'd be surprised. He would deserve it. If you start pulling people away, I mean, they're not going to lose Owen Farrell, for instance, but you wouldn't want to pull him away. You wouldn't want to pull Billy Vunipola away. But players are replaceable, but Mark McCall sets the tone and the culture, doesn't he?
Alex?
He does. And they've managed to generate coaches underneath him. You know, we've talked before about Andy Farrell coming up and then progressing on to international. Paul Gustard the same. They don't seem to lose anything within their coaching structure. But you're right. And Ed Griffiths going was an interesting moment because he had been at the forefront of the building of the new Saracens as the chief executive, who was quite happy pushing the envelope, trying new things. He went, and actually a lot of the club's ethos remained the same in terms of these trips and all the things that they do to help build that place. But yeah, Mark McCall is the glue that holds the rest of it all together.
And it's funny because I think that he may well totally be in line for the Irish job, but you could never get two more different coaching jobs in professional rugby because you've got this community thing at Saracens. You know, you've got everything that they build around the club. You've got this process with which they identify players, bring them up through the academy, day-to-day stuff. They go away together on trips, etc. And suddenly he would be away with Ireland in a great vacuum with nothing to do for day after day. So it'd be fascinating to see when he does go. But let's just go straight on to the semi-finals now. I mean, there's no escape for these guys. Out they go against Exeter on Saturday. Exeter, as we know, will be more fired up probably than Claremont. The crowd will be more almost as fired up as Claremont's. Where's that going to go, Adam?
Well, it's hard to say how much that Saturday's game would have taken out of Saracens. I mean, a few years ago, when we had the old-style playoffs, the winners of the league didn't play. They had a week off well.
Yes, they did, yeah.
And we always thought that they would be undercooked, so maybe Exeter would be undercooked. I can't see it, personally, but it should be proper tear-up.
I think they'll just be coming to the boil, won't they? There's no excuse for Exeter being undercooked. They got every advantage by having the rest and the extra week's preparation.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think what Adam's saying is that there was a time when the team that went straight through the final had a bye week,
yeah,
and often actually affected them adversely in terms of the results. Mm. But no, I mean, I don't think Exeter are ever not going to be at the party. Alex, any chance for Exeter?
Oh, there's absolutely a chance for Exeter because they're a team who've strung 9 bonus point wins in a row. That in itself is an achievement. There's a chance for them, in the same way there was a chance for Claremont at the weekend. I just don't see, at the moment, anything stopping that Saracens train. They can. I mean, you talked about their achievements in Europe. They won that trophy by winning in Toulon, who admittedly aren't the Toulon of old. They won at the Aviva. They won at Murrayfield. Going away doesn't scare them, and they can rotate players. I just don't see them being stopped at this stage.
Adam, pop paper story on Saturday. Will it be the shock, or will it be the reimposition of the Saracens' iron will?
Well, is Exeter winning at home a shock? I'm not sure it is.
Okay, against the European champions.
My money will be on Saracens to get over the line somehow. They just got a habit of doing it.
Well, what's interesting about those two teams, if you did that thing where you pick one team out of the two clubs, I mean, how many Exeter Chiefs players would you have in there? You'd struggle to get.
That's right. But have you not got the essence of the Chiefs there? Their essence?
Absolutely. I mean, there are 6 Saracens going on the line still. There's 1 Exeter Chief. Exeter aren't overwhelmed by international call-ups in the Six Nations, yet there they are. I mean, that, as you say, that's what's so special about them. But Saracens would say, well, that's what's special about us as well.
Sure, I think absolutely. They share a similar spirit, the two clubs, actually.
Yeah,
it's just that Saracens have more stardust there. But actually, what makes both clubs tick is very similar.
Okay, I don't think any of us are going to go for an extra to win, or are we? I just think it's going to be unbelievably close. Isn't it fantastic? It's week 197 of the season, but we're still looking forward to it, looking forward to get on the train to Exeter. And not looking forward to coming back very much, because that'll be about a 48-hour job. But just absolutely marvellous, marvellous prospect. Guys, are we going 4-0 for Saracens, but very, very tiny margin?
Yeah, I'll go Saracens by 6 or 7 points.
All right, I'll go Exeter in a massive shock. Although, a point to the people, it's not a shock.
I'm going to go with the dog man on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Saracens just edge.
Dog man's always right. Okay, well, there is another semi-final. And what a game it's going to be. I think was expect that the visit of Leicester will be a sellout at the Rico, and that would be just marvellous. A contrast in styles here. Also, Alex Lowe, Leicester have been usurped as the king of the Midlands at the moment. They haven't got the biggest stadium. They haven't got the biggest recent record. They only just struggled into fourth place. So what have we got there?
Well, it will be an occasion to say that the Wasps sold out 31,000, I think, for the last round of the regular league season against a changed Saracens team. But with the big Midlands, it's always been a huge game, isn't it? In recent Premiership history, Leicester Wasps, Wasps Leicester. Now they have that kind of local rivalry as well, and Wasps have usurped them in terms of all those elements you say, the support, but also results. And I think Leicester go there galvanised. They've had a strange season, three head coaches, and yet they've still managed to find a way through into the playoffs to maintain that record that, you know, they've always been there. Again, I can't see them upsetting Wasps, other than the fact that they should have a bit more power, perhaps in the tight five, because Wasps got some injuries. But the way that Wasps played against that changed Saracens team, I wouldn't say a weak team, because Schalberger was starting. I mean, it wasn't a weak Saracens team, but the pace and accuracy of their back line, if they can get some decent ball, then there'll be a real danger.
Adam, is the only way that Leicester can win this, though, for them to, as they say in Australia, go the biff and really get stuck in a physical game?
Yeah, probably go the biff and do it like the old Leicester boys would have done. But, I mean, Leicester have got this brilliant record of qualifying for playoffs the last 100 years. They've also got an appalling record of getting spanked when they get there in recent years. I mean, remember they lost by about 40 at Bath a couple of years ago. You can see Wasps cutting loose and really putting them to the sword.
We were talking earlier about what's this possibility behind the scrum. Is that going to be too much for the Tigers?
It should be. For me, the only thing that could turn the fixture in Tigers' favour is the psychology of it. So Tigers are more the underdogs than they've ever been before in this circumstance. And Wasps are more the favourites. That there's so much expectation on them. If Wasps lose, then they've had a failure of a season, pretty much. So that could work both ways. That could be the poison in the minds of the Wasp players, and Leicester will go there thinking, we ain't got anything to lose here, boys. On paper and on results and on form, there's no way Wasp can lose this.
Alex, sorry, but you were talking earlier about you were one of the judges in the try of the season, and one man seemed to figure in almost all his attacking movements.
Yeah, Danny Cipriani. So I was going to say, history would suggest that to win any title, whether it's League, Europe or World Cup, you can't go out all guns blazing. By the time you get to the knockout, things tighten up. And we saw it, Saracens beat Bath in the final. Bath tried to run them off their feet.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Leicester in last year's semi tried to run Saracens off their feet, and it didn't work. Wasps seemed to have a bit of a wobble post-Lent, so they dropped Cipriani. They looked at their style a bit and talked a little bit about tightening it up. But then in that Saracens game, they went out running. And I sat through and watched all the tries, or the top five tries from every round of this season. And every Wasps try, and there were a lot of them, had Cipriani doing something magical or sometimes very simple but brilliantly executed. And he has his... He has his fans, he has his detractors, but actually he's critical to the way that they think they're going to go and win this league by creating things. And the players around him are all on the same page now. And obviously they have some defensive frailties, but he is at the heart of everything that they've done offensively this season that is the reason that they finished top and the reason they are where they are.
Did you also judge Cock-up of the season? Because he'd presumably be in there most of the highlights of those as well, wouldn't he?
There wasn't a sponsor keen to back that one.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the Cock-up of the season is the only trophy or title that's not being awarded in this award season. We are all on so many award panels. We ought to be given the panel...
podcast of the season.
We're on the podcast of the season.
Have we won that already?
I think so, yeah. But we're also all on the panellists of the season. I think I'm on 47 panels. I think I picked a different player of the year on all of them as well. Anyway, that was... we'll just go quickly down. I want the name of the winner at the Rico Stadium and an approximate margin. Alex Lowe?
Oh, Wasps by 12.
Dogman?
Wasps by 16.
Wasp by 26.
Wow. Ooh. I think it'll be Wasp, but probably about less than 16, but could be a cracker. Okay, Mr. Conviction Owen Slot has already regretted 3 seconds ago saying it's going to be 26 points. Do you want to just give you one more chance to revise that 26 points, Owen?
Wasp by 36.
Right, thank you very much. That's what I like. There's a semi-final day at the Guinness Pro 12 as well, or days rather. Friday night we got Leinster versus the Scarlets, and on Saturday we got Munster versus the Ospreys. Now, Welsh teams have made a late charge to get in there. Whether or not that makes them contenders against the two big Irish teams away, it's difficult to say. Have to say that Leinster and Munster are really carrying the tournament in terms of crowds and interest, because there is a sort of nether region area of the tournament which is really almost sort of going down, disappearing down the gurgler. But Leinster, let's put it this way, can any either of the Welsh teams knock over any of the Irish teams on Irish territory? Adam?
No. In a word, the only time, if you look at the European campaigns, Leinster got knocked out by Claremont, no disgrace there. Munster got knocked out by Sarries, no disgrace there. I think they're way above anything else in the Pro 12, and it'll probably be an All-Irish final.
Oh, and any hope for the Welsh there?
I'd love to take an opposing opinion, but that Pro 12 is a bit like the old Scottish Football League with Rangers and Celtic just exchanging it year in, year out, and no one else quite coming close. It would be brilliant if there is an upset. Scarlets are on much better form than Ospreys at the moment. If there is an upset, that would be the one, Scarlets at Leinster, but I would be very surprised.
Stuart Bowne spent ages on Saturday night telling me why Scarlets do have a chance. Something to do with their front row playing really well, but when Barnsley backs the Scarlets, I think we can all dive in on Devon on Leinster. Alex, Leinster and Munster, fair play to them. Came very, very close, or at least reached the major knockout stages. Very, very good sides. Are they great sides? But can they be beaten this weekend?
Oh, they're not great sides. They've been significantly better Leinster sides in the last 5 years. Munster are getting their feet again, finding their feet again. They're sort of a rebuilding stage after losing a lot of their big names to retirement, and you know, O'Gara and Doug Howlett and those guys. I think they are, under Razzy Erasmus, starting to find an identity again, and they've obviously been it's an emotionally charged year. They're not great yet, but they do, I think they are on the move. But yeah, an Irish, all Irish final.
Okay, Owen, just to remember that we're appearing at a forum in Dublin on Tuesday, so we better revise that a bit to say these two marvellous, outstanding Irish teams have got.
They're brilliant, aren't they? Absolutely love them.
I've always said so, unlike the doubters in this room. Let's just go on to Will Hines. His name emerged this morning because he has joined the England training squad for their training at Brighton. After his career making baked beans and tinned tomatoes, he's now in the England rugby squad, even though he's not English. Now, he's 30. I remember Eddie Jones specifically ruled out Guy Thompson from one of his squads, the excellent Wasp back rower, because he was 29 and he didn't feel he could do anything with him at that age. Hines has come from nowhere. We're already on record in this podcast of being completely bewildered by Eddie's selection for Argentina. Now there's another bewilderment, Owen, with the appearance of Hines, who's had a reasonable but not a great season in the England squad.
Yeah, and it comes only a week after Eddie picked Jason Woodward, the Bristol, now moving to Gloucester, fullback, who'd only, he's a Kiwi, only arrived in Bristol towards the end of the autumn. And now he's there as well. These players, I'm not sure they're going to get a cap. This isn't a training squad specifically for a game. But for me, it's more the message. What does that say to English players who have spent their life dreaming and working on this? What does it say about the English system if a couple of Kiwis come in and all of a sudden they leapfrog right to the top? I just think it's very worrying all round in that respect.
We've had this discussion about Eddie, and no one has to tell any of us about what he's done for English rugby, put them back on the map, give them the momentum, etc., etc. But frankly, it's now beyond a joke for me. I felt anger after that European Cup game, seeing the likes of Richard Wigglesworth, well, how masterfully he played, and the sheer brilliance of Alex Good. I watched him again on tape this morning. The brilliance of which he, and the creativity of the guy. And as you say, Owen, a phalanx of people who deserved a chance just being discarded. And frankly, it's become for me rather distasteful. Alex, what's the selection of Hines tell us about the whole thing?
Well, it exactly as you guys have just said. Eddie's selection policy, which was so rigid for so long, has now taken on a sort of scattergun feeling, where all the players who've earned an opportunity have suddenly been discarded, or not even discarded, overlooked. Even for the tour, Dan Robson, Joe Simpson, they're not there. They can't be in this training squad. But I just do not understand the point of picking Willie Hines. He's not going to be in the World Cup squad. It's only a training squad, and they'd be much better off having a look at the next generation and picking someone up from the under-18s, even the under-20s. It's a ludicrous selection.
Adam, you've been through the other contenders. Okay, we know that Eddie didn't have access to, mm-hmm. to players from top teams, but I mean, there are some he could have chosen, surely.
Well, there are a lot of foreign number nines playing in the Premiership, unfortunately. I mean, there's a lad Cook at Bath, who's played a couple of boys at Gloucester. I mean, it's only a training week. Why? There must be a 17-year-old or someone like that who can stand around and throw a few balls at the fly halves. I mean, this Hines qualifies for his grandmother. That law is an aberration. We've got rid of the 3-year rule. I think we should try and get rid of that one as well.
Yeah, get rid of all grandmothers and grandfathers. Well, I mean, qualification. I don't mean euthanasia.
the Enlightened Podcast. We've actually taken a stand against euthanasia.
We want everyone to keep on living.
There have been three Kiwi-born players picked for England squad since the end of the Six Nations.
Yeah, it's almost the unseen thing. I mean, sometimes you think Ben Tihoe, he may be qualified, but does he deserve to be a line? You could disappear your own backside in these, but it's becoming, at least as Adam said, they've taken a stand somewhere. Let's carry on then to erase grandparents, and then we may be getting somewhere. Okay, we're now just going to discuss the shortened game because it's Sevens weekend. HSBC World Series comes to a climax at Twickenham on Saturday and Sunday. Slightly odd thing, because as you see at most Sevens tournaments now, including Hong Kong, which is absolutely brilliant, there's a kind of two elements to it. There's the play on the field, which most people seem to ignore, as they come dressed as all sorts in the crowd. And the great cheers in the crowd, especially in Hong Kong, are not reserved for the great play. They're reserved for the streakers or someone who's just drunk 25 pints straight off. My son 2 years ago went dressed as Michael Van Gerwen, the darts player, his hero. So that took some doing. Has Sevens, Adam, has it been boosted up by the World Cup, or is it still slightly a backwater at this time of the season?
I think it's a bit of a backwater at this time of the season. There's a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, this London, it's all very good for a day out, but I call me an old curmudgeon. I'm not a fan of T20 cricket either. Obviously, Sevens has been around a lot longer than T20 cricket, but it does seem all a bit hit and giggle when people are there for the beers, really.
I think it does. Alex, there's a couple of teams coming up the ranks, though. The Fijian team, who are the young players who've impressed you in the Sevens so far?
Well, actually, Fiji have underperformed in this Seven Series. South Africa have been the team that have particularly impressed.
But just before we go on, surely there must be a couple of this great warrior race from the South Seas. There must be someone who's impressed you in the Fijian team.
Ben Ryan's left a very strong legacy there, but they need rebuilding.
Owen, you're a proud Englishman. Who can we look for in the English team this weekend? Because I think they did very well in the most recent tournament, coached by Simon Amor. How is the future bright for the England Seven?
My view of the way the Olympics has affected the Sevens, the world picture of rugby and what Sevens is going to do is not necessarily that it's going to change English rugby or our approach to Sevens in England. It's changing and bringing the game to other countries, newer rugby nations, the United States, and in Kenya, for instance, in sevens, they punch really well. They're outstanding teams. So they're coming through. So they'll galvanise rugby in those countries. And I think if there is going to be a change, I think we'll see that in the women's game around the world rather than. We won't see English rugby is not going to change particularly, but as an advertisement for women playing the sport, I think it's. I think the Olympics probably will be shown to have made a change. Maybe it's too early to have judged the fact that the world, rugby world's totally different now, but I think that's where it's gone.
Look, I totally agree. I've always had just an anxiety that. There are not many teams are ever going to win Rugby World Cup, the 15-a-side game. Just makes me think that sometimes governments and players and the minds of coaches will think, well, we're never going to do that. Let's try and win something in the sevens. And I do think that possibly America and Kenya and other places are now saying, look, you know, the sevens has become the huge thing. Sevens is huge. They're unbelievably fit, unbelievably committed. There is a fantastic World 7 Series, which, to be fair, has put it on the map, has put it on the Olympic map. So let's wish them well. Let's also hope that the crowd, whether or not they're dressed as darts players this weekend, let's hope they revel in the rugby, because there are some great athletes out there. Frankly, Perry Baker is just such an absolutely magnificent sprinter to watch. If he gets the ball with a yard of space, it's a try. You know? That is worth going to see.
If you were going, what would you be dressed as? Would you superhero? Steve, is that that's your sort of domain?
I'm dressed as a superhero now.
I
go as Harry Kane. Yeah, with a funny, rather odd accent, but I'd be scoring frequently. Thoughts turn to Lions now, just at the very end of our podcast today. Won't be long before we're down there. I'm looking forward to hiring my first car. Driving a Ford Anglia is always is always a joy.
They arrived now, have they?
Yeah, the Anglia have gone. Apparently shops are open on Sundays as well as during the week. And as we speak, there's arrangements for our podcast being made. A cable ship's just left Tilbury Docks with the cable to introduce telephones over there, so we'll be able to get back to you with our podcast. Alex, Lions, any likely Lions? Anyone in form you saw? Anyone you thought on the weekend, God, they should have gone?
Yeah, we're all well versed in the kind of the competition in the second row, but Joe Launchbury again in that game against Saracens was just immense, and almost with every week that goes by, you kind of wonder how he hasn't managed to force his way in, albeit it's an incredibly competitive position.
That's a good start. And Dogman?
Well, I know you've banged on about Richard Hibbard before, but his display on Friday in the Challenge Cup final when Gloucester lost to Stade Français just put the tin lid on the argument, really. I mean, I can't see how he's not in that Lions squad. I can't see how he's not in the Welsh squad. He must have upset somebody. Just seems bonkers.
Oh, you both boosted audience figures by watching some Super Rugby on the weekend. What did you see?
Yeah, I watched the Crusaders Hurricanes game, which struck me as sort of the two top teams. The Lions will play them both. Crusaders have been unbeaten all season, and Hurricanes have most of the Barrett family playing for them, so this should be outstanding. So what was interesting was Crusaders dominated the game. They absolutely smashed them at the set piece. The Hurricanes scrum was going backwards, and the All Blacks superstar, the player of the year from 2016, the guy's been anointed as new and better than Dan Carter, Beauden Barrett. He struggled behind a pack going backwards. He did not step forward and take control of the game. He looked human. That.
Very significant. Okay. Very quickly, lads, what's our week ahead as the season reaches a climax? Alex Lowe.
First thing on the agenda is to go to Brighton Tuesday and try and get my head around Eddie Jones' selection and talk to him about what on earth he's thinking.
The fair point. You need about 3 weeks for that. Adam?
Saracens tomorrow to go and try and find somebody I haven't interviewed about 7 times this year. And then Exeter on Saturday, hoping our journey back is a bit better than it was a couple of weeks ago when we took about 19 hours to get back.
We did, but fair play. We were all starving on the train. Adam bravely jumped out at a roadside halt because we were starving, ran into the buffet, came back and was royally received by the lads, where he produced 22 cans of beer and no food. Owen?
I'm tracking down Lions captains. There are 13 living Lions captains. I've got 10 so far. The rest of the week is tracking down the final three.
Fantastic. I'm going to see a great lion. I'm going to see him at the Wye Valley on Friday, the great Steve Boyle. Not been in the media very much lately. Looking forward to Exeter and Saracens as if it was the first game I'd ever covered. Thanks a million for listening to us.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.